And I just noticed this. That's all right. Third week of Advent. And so today is the, well, if you haven't been here, I guess I'll just recap real quick. There's probably a few faces that we haven't seen here, so we'll just go quick back through what Advent is. The word Advent means coming, all right? So in the Advent season, we are celebrating or we are observing the first coming of Jesus in Bethlehem, you know, born of the Virgin Mary. But also, it's a time to remember that he's coming again, okay? So Advent simply means coming. And so that's why we observe Advent during the Christmas season, okay? So what we have to help us with a visual of the Advent season is a wreath of candles that we light each week progressively, okay? So there's three purple candles and one pink candle and then one white candle, okay? So does anybody remember what the first week's candle is? It's a purple one. Hope, the candle of hope. There was another name for it. the prophet's candle, okay? How about week two? Does anybody remember what week two candle is? Peace. How about the second name? The candle of Bethlehem, okay? That's also a purple candle. Week three, we switch it up with the pink candle, and that is the candle of joy. Does anybody know the second name to that? There's actually a couple more names. We'll get into that here in a minute. It's the shepherd's candle, okay? Week four, does anybody remember what week four is? Love. Is there a second name for that one? I don't know it either. How about that? I'm froze. My head's froze. I had a few things go through my head this week, if you can imagine. We'll come back on the fourth Sunday and you'll find out what that is, okay? So today we light the third candle, the pink candle. That's symbolizing joy and also the shepherd's candle. There's a little more history to the Advent than that, and if you're interested in finding out what that is, you can grab me afterwards, and I'll do my best to explain it to you or give you some materials to read through that, okay? So one of the scriptures, and if you noticed in our worship today, I tried to pick out songs that had to do with joy or rejoicing, and actually each one of those hymns, I really had a hard time. I found like six hymns that walked through the birth of Christ, and two of them I didn't know. Two of them were brand new, never heard them. They were awesome. I didn't play them because I don't know that everybody knows them, but maybe we'll play them some other time as well. But all those hymns told the story of the coming of Christ, and I thought they did a really good job in of telling that story in their own words. So I wanted to share those with us today. Okay, so I don't know if I shared this scripture in the notes today, but it's sometimes a traditional, some churches will share this scripture, but this is from Paul in the Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and in there Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." You know, there's a lot of circumstances in our lives that maybe aren't worthy of us rejoicing. You know, we all have issues, we all have things coming against us, but Paul's saying, beyond that, look beyond that and rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, not just when we feel like it, not just when things are going good, but we truly have a reason to rejoice in the Lord because he's our salvation, you know? So keep that in mind. The word, this is the third title for the third Sunday of Advent is some churches, the they call it Gaudete Sunday. Has anybody heard that? I had never heard that. It was just a little tidbit that I found in my reading this week. Often called Gaudete Sunday, and that is Latin for rejoice. I'd never heard that in my life, so learned something. Well, I learned a lot this week, but I'd never heard that one before, so I wanted to share that with you. Okay, so today we're going to be looking in the second chapter of Luke, and I passed out some scriptures that I'm going to be going through today. I'll leave the rest of these up here if you want to, if I didn't get one to you. It lists all the scriptures that we're using today. So, second chapter of Luke, if you want to read along, I'm going to read this real quick. It's verses 8 through 12. There's a few other today, but I'm going to read this real quick to you. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will happen, and this will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." One of the things, okay, I'm going to make a confession. First of all, I'm not always a Christmas person. Rarely am I a Christmassy person, right? I don't care for it too much. I got some hang-ups with it, right? Now, something's different this year for some reason. I'd attribute it to the Lord because I'm not smart enough or whatever to change my attitude toward Christmas. But this year's different for some reason. And not to go along with the Grinch story or anything, but like there's something going on in me where there's a little more joy this year going into this Christmas season. And so I think the Holy Spirit's trying to work something in me to enjoy the Advent season, to enjoy Christmas, because I've not always enjoyed it. You know, we all have probably reasons to have downcast days or seasons in our lives, you know. Sometimes we lose folks around the holidays or in between the holidays, and so that kind of sticks with us sometimes, right? And honestly, for me, I've kind of always used that as an excuse to not allow myself to experience joy or express joy during this season. And so, for whatever reason, this year's been different, you know, and so I've really been enjoying not worrying about what's going on out here in the world, the commercialism, whatever else is going on, and just finding myself in the presence of God and experiencing joy as I should be during the Advent season. So I just wanted to share that with you, because a lot of people really get joyful during the season. A lot of people really love the season of Christmas, you know. And I've always kind of been somebody that would rain on the parade, so to speak, right? My wife being one of them. She loves decorating. She loves giving the gifts and all that stuff. And I was always just like, I don't really care for it that much. So anyway, she's even made the comment, like, what's going on? You're listening to Christmas music, right? And I am. I'm bugging people at work, so I play Christmas music all day long. All day long. But this season's a time to be joyful, and we often see people doing that, you know. They celebrate with the music and lights and decorations. We celebrate by getting together with families, with our family and our friends, and we exchange gifts, and, you know, it really is a time to be joyful. Even people that don't profess Christ, even people that don't profess Christ use joyful biblical terminology to describe this season. Isn't that funny? People that want to say happy holidays or Merry Xmas or whatever else they do, I don't know, whatever else they say, they'll still use words like, they'll post it in their house, peace, peace on earth, right? That comes from Scripture. Or they'll have hope. What's their hope? I don't know, but they're still using the terminology. Or joy. You know, you'll see them using these types of words that are biblical and actually describing of what's going on during the Advent season with Christ coming, okay? And why is that? Because this Christmas season or this time is actually a holy season, okay? Christmas is actually a holy day. Now, we don't say holy day, we say holiday, but it's a holy, holy day, you know, and a holy season. And it's all because of the birth of Christ, the coming of the Savior of the world. That's why. So Christ is our hope. Christ is our peace. Christ is our joy. The world just doesn't necessarily see that yet. And opposite of that, you know, even though, you know, decorating and things brings us joy, the joy isn't in the tree. The joy isn't in the songs, the music, the presents. The joy is found in Christ our Lord. And at the heart of Christmas is the eternal good news that a Savior was born into this world. And you know, from the beginning of the birth of Christ, or the Christmas story, as we refer to it a lot of times, I guess, the beginning of the Christmas story, it's been punctuated with various representations or actions or outbursts or moments of joy, right? And all these things center around the birth of Christ, the coming of Christ. So this morning, I wanted to try and focus on that, and I found three things in Scripture that I wanted to highlight today that have to do with joy during the Christmas season, okay? The first one is that Jesus brings the joy of salvation. Now, we hear that in our ears. We hear that in our minds, but I'm not sure we always know how to experience that, you know? We say it, right? We give that lip service, but are we really joyful over Jesus bringing us salvation? Number two, joy leads to profession or proclamation or saying, speaking, okay? Number three, joy leads to praise. All right? So joy brings... Jesus brings the joy of salvation. Joy brings, or leads to proclamation. Joy leads to praise. Those are the three things we're going to dig out of Scripture today. All right? So, if you don't mind, just follow along here. The first Scripture I wanted to share with you, and again, these are on that little slip of paper I gave you, so you don't have to, like, look them all up right now, but it just gives you a way to go back and chew on this a little bit later. Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore in me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold with me a willing spirit. Jesus brings joy in so many areas of our life, but this particular time, this is David, okay? This is David saying, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Now, this is David's request to God after he committed his famous sin, right? And I'm not going to go into all that today. But David had sinned greatly against God, but he still understood the connection between salvation and joy. He understood this connection between salvation and joy. So he repented of his sin, and he asked God for forgiveness, and then he asked God to restore the joy of his salvation. And that's exactly what God did for him. Next, this would probably be a little more light Sunday reading for you guys, but if you go over to Isaiah chapter 12. I'm not going to go through 11 and 12, but you guys can go through 11 and 12 to see the progression later. You can do that on your own for a little bit of just reflection. But there's another connection between salvation and joy that Isaiah wrote about in verse 3. He says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." That's a beautiful image, you know, and a well and the water and the living water. And these are imageries that we see throughout the rest of our scripture. The scriptures when we read them. So in this passage, though, Isaiah is prophesying about the second coming of Christ, okay? And so that's also a large part of our focus on the Advent season, is the second coming of Christ. So Advent not only reminds us of the baby Jesus coming, but also the returning of Christ, his second coming, when he's going to establish his rule and kingdom here. Now, we get to see a little bit more what that looks like if you go read Isaiah 11, okay? That's prophecy as well. So we see that Christ returns, and he truly brings peace on earth. That's what Isaiah 11 is telling us. Peace on earth, it's a peace among nations, but it actually extends to the animal kingdom as well. That's kind of a neat passage to realize, and actually another hope that we can grab a hold of, that this is something that's coming, right? This is something we can be joyful about, because we are going to experience peace on earth like we've never experienced before. We don't understand what that is, because there's always something disrupting our peace here. Think about the lion and the lamb cuddling up and taking a nap together. Think about that. That's true peace. But I brought these up because Isaiah 11 and 12, because the joy that's meant to be experienced during this season is just a precursor of the joy that is yet to come at the second coming. It's real right now. We can experience real joy right now in the Lord, but it's almost like practice for what's to come. We have no earthly knowledge of what is to come. So the joy that we get to experience here in the Lord is practice for what's to come. You know? And this life is filled with struggles from the effects of sin, right? And so if you can contemplate what's going on now as we live and what's prophesied in the future of peace from Isaiah 11, you get a picture that there's no true joy without the salvation of the Lord, okay? And there's no true salvation without joy. The two go hand in hand. They'll always be coupled together. So that was just a couple of those scriptures that I wanted to go over with you today. Now let's get back to Luke. One other place that we get to see the salvation and joy connection is in Luke chapter 1, okay? And this is the interaction with Mary, all right? So, well, let me just read that. Luke 1, 39 through, I think it's 45, yeah, 39 through 45. It says, in those days, Mary arose and went in haste to the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary and the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come and see me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Okay, so the baby in Elizabeth's womb was John the Baptist, okay? So in this scene, Mary enters the house, John the Baptist in his mother's womb, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, starts jumping for joy. The baby John the Baptist, in the presence of his Lord and Savior, also in his mother's womb, leapt for joy in the womb. Isn't that an awesome picture? But why? Elizabeth said this. It's because Mary visited and she was carrying her Lord and Savior. So John, in his mother womb, filled with the Holy Spirit, experienced joy in the presence of the Son of God, Jesus, being in proximity to him. Two members of the Trinity. Isn't that an amazing thought? So John jumps for joy in his mother's womb. So that's joy connected with the Savior of the world, okay? Now, why did John leap, or what allowed him to leap? It's the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit's job is to testify to the Son of God. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus as Savior. And that's what he was doing in the womb without words. It was a presence thing, right? Here's John in his mother's womb, filled with the Holy Spirit and joy. He's overjoyed because of the presence of his Savior, Jesus. You know, I don't know if it was a spontaneous thing. I don't know if John and his little baby in the womb knew what was happening, or if this was 100% the Holy Spirit's reaction through him. But I get the idea that if we're filled with the Holy Spirit as Christians, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, joy ought to make us leap at the thought of our Savior. Joy ought to just jump out of us at the thought of our Savior. The presence of our Savior. When we worship, when we pray, when we're reading God's word, we ought to be filled to the point of leaping with joy. That's what I get from that scripture. All right. Another example of Jesus bringing the joy of salvation is in the wise men. This is the Gospel of Matthew. All right. So let's go to Matthew chapter 2. We'll read this scripture. It's a short one, 9 and 10. It says, and after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So, you see the wise men traveling from a great distance get to see the Messiah, Jesus, and worship him. They'd followed the star like they were instructed. They didn't know exactly where he'd be born. That was for protection of Jesus, right? So here's these guys just following this star. And then it comes to rest exactly where it was supposed to, over to the baby Jesus. So they stop there and worship Jesus. But once again, the point in bringing that scripture up is that they rejoiced to find a place where Jesus was born. They rejoiced because they got to be in the presence of Jesus. And not only that, but Jesus brought salvation to his people. So salvation and joy belong together, right? And during the Advent season, during the Christmas season, Christ Mass, the holy day, the holy season, joy and the season belong together. All right, so that ends point number one. Jesus brings the joy of salvation. Okay, so number two, we're going to flip back over to Luke. The second point I wanted to get to today was joy leads to proclamation. We're going to go back over to Luke chapter 2 again. Joy leads to proclamation. Why does joy lead to proclamation? Jesus brings the joy of salvation, and joy leads us to share the good news of Jesus with others. Now, that might just sound like words in our head. It might just sound like a good idea. We might understand that that's what we're supposed to be doing, but does that actually happen? A lot of us understand things. A lot of us get the concept of experiencing the joy of salvation, and then we're to go tell the world about Jesus, about the salvation. But does it happen? Or is it just a platitude we live on? Is it just a buzzword that we say? The example is, in Scripture, is that we are to share this, we are supposed to share this, and the first demonstration that we get to see is the angels, right? The angels and actually the shepherds. So reading in chapter 2, there was the shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Okay, this is 8 through 12. The shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, watching over the flocks at night, and the angels of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." So notice here that the good news of Jesus' birth is not only news, but it's good news. Good news. It's not just news. It's not just 6 o'clock news. This is good news. This is the good stuff, right? It's not only good news, but it's good news of joy. Or is it? It's good news of great joy. This is something to be excited about. This is something to focus your energies on. It's good news of great joy. It's not only good news of great joy, but it's good news of great joy for all the people. This wasn't just something that was happening to this family and the innkeeper and the shepherds and the angels and the wise men. This was happening for all of mankind so that they would be reconciled to God. That's something to be, that's good news for sinful mankind, and it's also something to rejoice about. But again, how are all the people going to know? Not all the people were there. There was a few witnesses that got to take part in it. How are all the people going to know unless it's proclaimed? How are all the people going to know unless the witnesses there went and told about it? How are all the people going to know about the good news of great joy unless we share it with them? This is so funny because it's not funny. But here I am preparing for a sermon yesterday. And I had a work meeting the other day. This isn't part of the sermon. This is just something that happened. And here I'm reading through Isaiah 11, right? And we go through life, Isaiah 11 and 12. We go through life, and there's injustices in our life, right? There's things that happen in our lives that are unjust. And so we have our own idea of justice, whether we're trying to see it through the lens of God or not. But there's one judge. There's one that's righteous. And he's coming again to set the record straight with everybody, right? So there were some things going on at work that you could see as unjust in some people's eyes, right? And I was upset about it, and another fellow was upset about it, and he texted me when I was reading this, right? He texted me when I'm studying for this and I'm writing this out. And he says, I don't know what to do. So I said, read Isaiah 11 and 12, right? Now I'm witnessing to this guy, and it was just so perfect because I had never, ever connected that, right, unless he had texted me right there. And I said, read Isaiah 11 and 12. We don't have to be the judge. We don't have to figure this out. God is coming back. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to set the record straight. He's going to judge rightly. We don't have to. We just have to accept the things that are going on in our life, keep looking to him, and keep moving forward, right? It was just a way that God got to work in that circumstance that I didn't even know was coming, right? It was just kind of neat, so I thought I'd share it with you. Whatever. Hope you take something from it. Back to the good news. We share good news all the time, right? We share our praises in here every week. Something good happens, we share it. We talk about it to our friends, to our families. If you're a Facebooker, you blast it out there on Facebook for the whole world to see, right? We share good news. Somebody's had a baby, what do you find out immediately? How big it was? Is it healthy? How long it is? How much it weighs? Is mom okay? What color's its eyes? Oh, it looks just like him. You know, we get excited about those things and we share that news, right? We share, that's just something about us. We share good news. Why do we share good news? Because we're experiencing joy, right? We're experiencing some joy in our life, so we want to share that with other people. You see where I'm going here? We have no problem with sharing the good news of getting a new car or getting a promotion at work because that brings us joy. But what about the joy of Jesus living inside of us, about the Holy Spirit being housed? This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. How much joy does that bring our lives? And does anybody even know that that's in there based on the way we live our lives? Well, if we're willing to tell the good news about the good things in our life that bring us joy, the common things that everyone experiences, how much more should we be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? The joy of our salvation. There's no better news than that. There's no better news than Jesus Christ coming to the earth to save us from our sin. There's no better news. There's no better news. You know, the angel shared it. The shepherd shared it. And I can't help but think there in Luke 2:11, when it says, today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. Today. You know, today. It's still as fresh today as it was then. He's still the Lord. He's still Christ the Lord. Isn't that good news? All right. I'm going to go to Luke 2, 15 through 18 and move on to the shepherd's account, okay? Let me read this. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known that saying that has been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. Okay? And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd had told them. That's another way to put that. They were in wonder of what the shepherds told them. So when the shepherds heard the good news, what'd they do? Mm-hmm. Shepherds heard the good news of great joy that was for all the people, right? First, they checked it out for themselves and went to see if it was real. And they found it just as the angel told them. And after they checked it out, they went and they spread the word to other people. They went and they shared the good news of great joy. Why? Because good news is for sharing, people. That's why. Because good news is meant to be shared. That's why we share good news with each other every week. That brings me to the point that joy leads us to proclamation. The joy of the salvation of the Lord should lead us to proclamation. We should be able to share that with people. My question is, do we have the same joy as the shepherds had? You know, have we realized that in our, you know, that the joy of salvation is what our soul was yearning for without it? It's just a question. Maybe you ask yourself that. Lastly, the third thing is joy leads to praise. Joy leads to praise. So we are going to be in Luke, again, chapter 1, 46 through 49. Okay, let me read this to you real quick. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and his name, and holy is his name." That's Luke 1, 46 through 49. Mary's joy came out in a song, or a burst out of praise, right? She burst out in song, and it's recorded here in Scripture for us. Some translations call it Mary's song. It's also known as the Magnificat, right? But this is Mary magnifying, glorifying the Lord for choosing her to be the mother of Jesus. The joy still has to do with salvation. She's carrying the salvation of the world in her womb. Mary rejoices in God her Savior. She rejoices in God her Savior. She's filled with joy at God's goodness to her, and her joy bubbles over into praise. And then we find the same pattern also with the shepherds when they return sharing the good news of Jesus with the people in the town. That's over in Luke chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." So again, that just brings about the point that joy brings proclamation. The shepherds, Mary and the shepherds, they went and spread the word about Jesus and his birth. It also leads to praise. So they returned glorifying God and praising God. God chose these people as eyewitness to the birth of Christ, and I'm sure they never ever forgot that, right? The things that they'd heard and seen should have just been told, and they had to go tell people. Can you imagine? Could you imagine trying to keep that one quiet? You know, you wouldn't be able to help yourself but go share that. Okay? All right, so just in summarizing, I hope this makes sense to you guys. I hope this was edifying for you. But the first point, again, was Jesus brings the joy of salvation. So the question is, I guess, do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know that joy that comes from having Christ as your friend, as your Savior, as the one who has forgiven your sins? Do you know that joy? Do you know the joy of being restored to a right relationship with God as David was, as he asked for? Do you know that? If you do, reflect that in how you live by proclaiming it, right? That leads to the second point. Jesus, the joy of salvation leads to telling about it, proclaiming it. If you know Jesus is your Savior, then you need to spread the word. How many people have we told about Jesus this season? How many people have we told about Jesus this season? Look, you don't have to be a trained theologian. A lot of times God sets these little conversations up for you. You just have to be willing. You have to be faithful when it comes around. Right? That's it. You don't have to know every word in here. You don't have to know the chapter and verse. Did Paul quote chapter and verse when he was teaching? Did Jesus quote chapter and verse when he was teaching? Yet they knew the word of God so well that it just rolled out of their mouths. You don't have to have it memorized word for word, but you can share what you know from here. You can share about what Jesus has done for you with other people. You don't have to have a degree. Okay? There's a scripture that comes to mind. It's required among stewards that one be found faithful. We use that in church a lot about our tithing and stuff, but it has nothing to do with giving, has nothing to do with tithing, has nothing to do with money. What that has to do with is required among stewards that one be found faithful. Paul's laying out, he wants them to be faithful. They've been entrusted with the word of God. They've been entrusted with the good news of great joy. And he's saying, you have to be faithful. That's what it's required of you, is now a steward of someone that's heard the word, experienced the word, experienced salvation. What's required of you is that you're a faithful steward of that word. Where was I? Oh, finally, here we go. Joy leads to praise. Joy leads to praise. You know, maybe we just need to tweak our praise. You all right? Was that? That wasn't me, I hope, but. Anyway, praise God every day for your salvation. You know, remind yourself, if you have to, like, make a point of changing the way you go through your day, you know? Do you even give time to praise God through the day? There's a lot to be praising God for. And this is the season that's supposed to remind us of that, how good God is to us. You know, that he just didn't leave us here to flounder. He sent a Savior who's alive today, who lives in our hearts, that's what we say, but is there evidence of it? Through our proclamation and our praising. All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you again for your word, and I thank you, Lord, for the examples that you give us through your word. Lord, just real life people whose lives you changed. In the same way you've changed and entered into our lives. God, thank you that we can look at their experiences, their words, Lord, and we can see those same things that you're trying to do in our lives. God, so as we go through this season, help us to not just experience the joy of your salvation, Lord, but also share that, proclaim that, and be found praising you as we go through the rest of this season. So again, we love you, Lord, and we just ask that you just use us to expand your kingdom. God, use us to share your good news of great joy. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I think we got one more praise song. So let's stand and sing.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Excelsis Deo. Gloria in Excelsis Deo.